during evening demonstrations. She says the curfew protected stores, restaurants, and businesses and residents from people engaging in vandalism and looting. I'm Scott Baba for Pacifica Radio.
Welcome to Africa Now. Today's show features African liberation music. Africa Now is next. Welcome to the show. I'm Muiza Muntali. The music in the background is Overture to Serafina, the original Broadway cast recording, and we play that commemorating Soweto Day, which is June 16. 49 years ago, on June 16, 1976, in Soweto, in Johannesburg, South Africa, youth rose up against the apartheid education system. Many students were injured and killed by the apartheid South Africa police force. The Soweto Uprising was an important catalyst in galvanizing the world against the brutal apartheid government. In that context, today, African Now goes into its archives with a show that looked at the role of music in African liberation. The show originally aired on June 16, 2010. The guest on the show was Kofi Kessy-Dompré. Dr. Kofi Kessy-Dompré is a professor emeritus of economics at Howard University, and is no stranger to WPFW listeners, as he is the longtime host and producer of African Rhythms and Extensions from midnight on Saturday to 2 a.m. Sunday. He has authored several scientific and scholarly works in economics, philosophy, decision theory, and fuzzy mathematics. He is the winner of the 2006 Sheikh Anta Diop Award for Excellence in Scholarship. He has a number of published monographs. Dr. Kofi Kessy-Dompré is a resource person for the United Nations Institute for Training and Research, UNITAR, and an economic consultant in the areas of cost-benefit analysis, national income accounts, development, and microeconomics. Professor Dompré is the founder of the Research Institute for Information, Decision, and Economic Sciences, RIDES, in which he serves as a distinguished research professor. The show begins with the songs Independence Cha-Cha by Grand Kali and two versions of Kosi Sikelele Africa by Soweto Community Hall and the other version from Congo. Here is the conversation with Dr. Kofi Kessy-Dompré on African liberation music.
This day will never be forgotten, the 6th of March 1957, when the Gold Coast successfully get your independence officially.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name. We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. Dr. Nkrumah went out his way to make the Gold Coast what it is today. He endeavored continually to bring us freedom and liberty.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. The doctor began as agitator, then he became popular leader. He continued to go further, and now he is Ghana's prime minister.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim, we will be jolly, merry and gay, the 6th of March, Independence Day. national flag is a lovely scene with beautiful colors, red, gold, and green, and a black star in the center representing the freedom of Africa.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim we will be jolly, merry, and gay the 6th of March, Independence Day. Congratulations from Haile Selassie was proudly received by everybody. He particularly commend on the doctor's move to self-government.
Ghana.
Ghana is the name.
Ghana.
We wish to proclaim we will be jolly, merry, and gay the 6th of March, Independence Day.
Welcome to Africa Now. I'm your host, Muiza Muntali. And we started off a little differently today. We're going to be focusing on African liberation music. And we started off with a song for Kosi Sikelel' Africa with two versions, one by the Soweto Community Hall and also the other one, which is from Congo. And excuse me. And then we also had before that at the beginning, we had Lord Kitchener having a tribute to Ghana's independence in 1957. It was commissioned by the first president of Ghana to write a song for the independence of Ghana, which was March 6, 1957. And just wanted to introduce you to the show. As we said before, we're focusing on music, music in African liberation. Resistance through cultural expression has been a vital component of African and people of African descent struggles for justice throughout history and around the globe. In the African experience, music provided the space to express, explore, and develop a path toward liberation. For example, in Southern Africa during the colonial era, liberation music can be dated back as far as 1897, when the South African songwriter Enoch Sotonga wrote God Bless Africa, or Kosi Sikelel' Africa, which you just heard. This song went on to become the anthem of the country after the fall of apartheid, and it was also a rallying cry during the struggle for liberation in neighboring Zimbabwe. And it's also a tune that's used as a national anthem in Tanzania and Zambia. Music remains in the precursor of resistance to oppression, to racism and oppression. Joining us to explore the role of music in African liberation more in depth is Kofi Kwesi Dumpre. As you know, Kofi Kwesi Dumpre is the host of the popular show here on WPFW, African Rhythm and Extension, which is on at 12 midnight on Saturday, 12 to 2 a.m. on Saturday. He's, for the last over 25 years, has brought African music culture to the wider D.C. audience. And he's not, that's his night job, but his day job is a professor at the Howard University in the economics department. And he's written extensively on Pan-Africanism. Some of his works include Polyrhythmicity, Foundations of African Philosophy, and also Economics Toward a Methodology Critique of and Unity, and Afrocentricity and African Nationalism. His latest book is African Union, Pan-African Analytical Foundations. And thank you, Kofi, for joining us again on Africa Now and sharing your knowledge. If you could just start off by giving us the background of the Kitchener song, which we just showed. That was the linking of the African world. You had the Caribbean singer Lord Kitchener coming to Ghana. How did that happen?
excuse me. The song was actually commissioned by the former president, the first president of Ghana, for Kitchener to write the song. And if you listen to the song, actually, the song is somehow also duplicated in by some Ghanaian musicians. The idea is to not only to present a tribute to Ghana's independence as an important driving force of the Black Power movement, but also laying down the initial foundation for the decolonization of the continent of Africa. And so if you listen to it, you know, you hear Ghana, Africa, Ghana, Africa. Mm-hmm. Because the idea is, what Nkrumah said, independence of Ghana is meaningless until it is linked to the total liberation of the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. So the whole notion of the music is also laying down foundation for that freedom fight.
So it's the Pan-Africanist movement.
That
music.
Is correct, yeah. Yeah.
And then we, as our listeners know, today is June 16th, so that's why we started with the Kosi Sikelel' Africa, for many reasons, because June 16th is the, as you know, is the International Day of the African Child, which was created because to honor the people, the students who rose up in on June 16th, 1976, fighting against apartheid. And we did the Kosi Sikelel' Africa. I don't know if you have any background, but that song is not just for South Africa, which most people now they don't realize. It's a song with Southern Africa. And even initially when he wrote it, he said, God bless Africa, not South Africa. But it was, and I don't know if you have any additions to about that song as well.
That song is very, by the way, that's one of my favorite liberation songs. And I listen to it a number of times. Anytime I play African music to the continent of Africa, I always play that song. The reason is, if you look at the rhythmic pattern generally of the African continent, music has been a driving force. for trying to get away from oppression and other elements that are anti-African. So you find out that even if you come down here, and as I try to explain when I give a lecture at the Smithsonian, the African roots of jazz music, you begin to realize everything spread out from the use of music and rhythmic patterns to actually a set direction of liberation. For example, you know, the drums was banned here because because of the codal messages that the rhythm tend to send. And this is the same thing applies to the continent of Africa. So you listen to the Golele Africa, it lays down a foundation for tomorrow. You see, that there's always a hope. And tomorrow cannot be lost, even though tomorrow is being made from today and yesterday.
And speaking of tomorrow cannot be lost, I think we're going to play from Congo. This month, Congo celebrates its 30th anniversary on June 30th. And there was a very popular song that came out at that independence. So it's called Independence Cha-Cha by the African Jazz. I don't know if you had some information on that as well. That was at the height of when Lumumba came to power.
Yeah, but you know, that music, we hope, is going to be followed by Nkrumah's speech when Lumumba was brutally killed. Now, my point is, I have always maintained this point, not until one understands that the epicenter of global violence is not what people think, because Africa has experienced very, very brutal regimes and oppression from the European governance. So when people talk about the contemporary African leaders, it amazes me because the history is being lost. You know, the Congolese tie, the way Lumumba was killed, if you look at even the simple movie on Lumumba, you find out that's very, very sad. And that is a speech that follows the independence cha-cha-cha by Nkrumah, because when Lumumba was killed, alongside his supporters, it was just a sad event in Ghana, because the Congo has always been looked upon as the heartbeat of Africa. It is a region that contains probably the best of natural resources in Africa in terms of mineral, you know. And so the independent cha-cha-cha, you know, set a pace, let us go. But the question is, we have to always put in two forms. Decolonization and then independence. You see, and the founding fathers were very sure of that. Decolonization is one thing, but to acquire independence, it's another thing that has to be substantially fought for. That's why we say in the current phase, the new phase of Africa's emancipation.
You're listening to WPFW's Africa Now, and we're focusing on African liberation music, and we're going to take you to Congo in 1960, to independence, with the song Independence Cha-Cha by the African Jazz.
Independence Cha-Cha,
Ano ma urukwe hwio. Ano ma urukwe hwio. Kongo mankara alumumba. Demirifa demirifa demirifa. Ni awop mo koraba montia. Akakabua odie tu. Demirifa demirifa demirifa. Ano ma kwere bresia ma utia wensema bojebu. Demirifa demirifa demirifa. Lumumba o sia dia yo berima. Wodu kongo ngwantaka sesua no wakai wo demirifa demirifa demirifa. O sajefu ni biribi owo baabi. Demirifa demirifa demirifa. Ebibi mangbo odin akuroso demirifa 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 ni awaku mo kwara ba mbontia na akakabu edi etu lumumba demirifa dwi demirifa dwi dwi ofar ba ya wodi ada yire ba ka nkirikiri demirifa 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 osaje fo kwa matu ap mabranza mjuzo ma demirifa dwi osaje fo kasa.
Countrymen, African freedom fighters, comrades and friends, somewhere in Katanga in the Congo, where and when, we do not know. Three of our brother freedom fighters have been done to death. There have been killed Patrice Lumumba, the Prime Minister of the Republic of the Congo, Maurice Mpolo, the minister in his government who was elected from Katanga province, and Joseph Okito, the Vice President of the Congolese Senate. About their end, many things are uncertain, but one fact is crystal clear. They have been killed because the United Nations, whom Patrice Lumumba himself, as Prime Minister, had invited to the Congo to preserve law and order, not only failed to maintain that law and order, but also denied to the lawful government of the Congo all other means of self-protection. History recalls many occasions when rulers of states have been assassinated. The murder of Patrice Lumumba and of his two colleagues, however, is unique in that this is the first time in history that the legal ruler of a country has been done to death with the open connivance of a world organization in whom that ruler put his trust. These are the facts. Patrice Lumumba was appointed Prime Minister by the departing Belgian authorities because he was the leader of the parliamentary party with the largest representation and was the only member of parliament who could obtain a majority in both the Senate and the Chamber. Kasavubu was subsequently elected as the ceremonial head of the state, but it was clearly agreed and understood that he should have no more authority or power than has the King of the Belgians in Belgium. This fact, clearly written into the Constitution of the Congo, has been deliberately ignored and distorted by those who have sought for their own ends to give some appearance of legality to the military usurpers and the agents of colonial rule who have illegally seized power in some parts of the Congo. Shortly after independence, the Congolese army mutinied. Patrice Lumumba and his colleagues had to secure outside support from somewhere if they were to preserve the legal structure of the state. In the interest of world peace, and in order to prevent the Cold War being brought into Africa, Patrice Lumumba invited the United Nations to preserve law and order. The United Nations insisted that they should have the sole mandate to do this and that the legal government of the Congo should not obtain that military assistance which would have otherwise been forthcoming from many other friendly African states. However, instead of preserving law and order, the United Nations declared itself neutral between law and disorder and refused to lend any assistance whatsoever to the legal government in suppressing the mutineers who had set themselves up in power in Katanga and South Kasai. When, in order to move its troops against the rebels, the government of the Congo obtained some civilian aircraft and civilian motor vehicles from the Soviet Union the colonialist powers and the United Nations raise a howl of rage, while at the same time maintaining a discreet silence over the build-up of Belgian arms and actual Belgian military forces in the service of the rebels. With a total disregard of the Constitution, which expressly provided that the President could not dismiss the Prime Minister unless there had been a vote of no confidence in the Parliament, Kasavubu illegally tried to remove Patrice Lumumba from office and to substitute another government. When Lumumba wished to broadcast to the people, explaining what had happened, the United Nations, in the so-called interest of law and order, prevented him by force from speaking. They did not, however, use the same force to prevent the mutineers of the Congolese army from seizing power in Leopoldville and installing a completely illegal government. Despite the fact that one of the most important reasons for the United Nations action was supposedly to see that all Belgian forces were removed, the United Nations sat by while the so-called Katanga government, which is entirely Belgian controlled, imported aircraft and arms from Belgium and from other countries, such as South Africa, which have a vested interest in the suppression of African freedom. The United Nations connived at the setting up, in fact, of an independent Katanga state, though this is contrary to the Security Council's own resolutions. Finally, the United Nations, which could exert its authority to prevent Patrice Lumumba from broadcasting, was, so it pleaded, quite unable to prevent his arrest by mutineers or his transfer through the use of airfields under United Nations control into the hands of the Belgian-dominated government of Katanga. The United Nations is, on behalf of all its members, in control of the finances of the Congo. It is now 2 months ago since I personally wrote to Mr. Hameshaw to ask him where the money came from which is being used to pay the soldiers in Mobutu's illegal army. I am still awaiting an answer. One thing is certain, however, this money does not come from the revenue of the Congo. It is supplied from outside by those who wish to restore colonialism in practice by maintaining in office a puppet regime entirely financially dependent upon them. The time has come to speak plainly. The danger in the Congo is not so much the possibility of a civil war between Africans, but rather a colonialist war in which the colonial and imperialist powers hide behind African puppet regimes. At this very moment, Northern Katanga is being laid waste by military units under command of a regular officer of the Belgian army, Colonel Krebeker, armed with the most modern weapons supplied by Belgium. Recruiting offices have been opened in South Africa, in France, and elsewhere, and wages of over £400 a month are being offered to former German fascist officers and to former collaborators of Hitler and Mussolini in other countries in order to persuade them to enlist in an Angolan war against the African people. Where, I ask again, does the money come from to pay these big salaries and to buy all of this modern and expensive armament, which is now being deployed against unarmed peasants and villages? The rulers of the United States, of the United Kingdom, of France, and of the other powers who are military allied with Belgium must answer these questions. Why did they express so loudly their indignation when the Soviet Union placed at the disposal of the legal government of the Congo civilian aircraft and civilian vehicles. Why are they so silent when their ally Belgium openly supplies military aircraft and armored vehicles to the rebels? Why is it that no single member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization has on any occasion addressed to Belgium any public rebuke for the flagrant breaches of the Security Council resolutions in which Belgium is every day indulging? Alas, the architects of this murder are many. In Ghana, we realize the great financial stakes which some great powers have in the Union Minière and in other industrial and commercial undertakings in the Congo. I would, however, ask these powers this question. Do they really believe that ultimately they can safeguard their investments and their interests in the Congo by conniving at a brutal and savage colonialist war? Do they realize that they are sacrificing African lives to continue in Africa the Cold War at the very time when all powers, both great and small, should be concentrating on the abolition of colonialism and the establishment of world peace? Patrice Lumumba, Maurice Impolo, and Joseph Okito have died because they put their faith in the United Nations and because they refused to allow themselves to be used as stooges or puppets for external interests. Our dear brothers, Patrice Lumumba, Maurice Impolo, and Joseph Okita are dead. And I ask you all to join with me in mourning the loss which the whole of African continent has sustained through their cruel murder. But their spirit is not dead, nor are the things for which they stood. African freedom, the unity and independence of Africa, and the final and complete destruction of colonialism and imperialism. The colonialists and imperialists have killed them. But what they cannot do is to kill the ideals which we will still preach and for which they sacrificed their lives. In the Africa of the future, their names will live forevermore.
And that was Kwame Nkrumah right after the death of Patrice Lumumba when he was killed in 1961.
You're listening to a conversation on African liberation music with Dr. Kofi Kessi-Dompré, who is a professor emeritus of economics at Howard University and is no stranger to WPFW listeners, as he's the longtime host and producer of African Rhythms and Extensions. And the conversation is from our archives. It took place on June 16, 2010. The music in the background is Fire in Soweto by Sonia Kosan. You're listening to Africa Now on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., your jazz and justice station. Now back to the conversation.
And that was Kwame Nkrumah right after the death of Patrice Lumumba when he was killed in 1961. Kofi, if you could just elaborate a bit on that, Ghana's role in Congo, and also just the effects of the... We're still going through the effects of that death in Congo.
Yeah, but, you know, listen to this speech many times and reminds me also of the speech that Nkrumah gave at the United Nations in 1962. For people in Ghana, the decolonization was a central piece. of work that the government dedicated itself. That is, every part of Africa must be completely decolonized, including South Africa. And you know, even Nelson Mandela himself was in Ghana, and almost all the major African leaders.
Robert Mugabe was there at the time.
Yeah. Mugabe was teaching in Ghana, but that's not only the point of emphasis. You listen to what Nkrumah have said about the United Nations. They are playing the same role on the continent of Africa. You see, that is the most important thing. And the same thing is happening in the Congo. You see, Congo is probably the most gifted, resource-wise, on the continent of Africa, and even in the world in general. But I've always maintained Congo is blessed and cursed. Cursed not because Congolese are bad people, because the colonial powers and imperial resource exploration will always be there. And that's what Nkrumah was saying. And one of the important things before, you know, you go ahead, one of the important things he said, United Nations is an instrument of colonial oppression. That's what the role of neo-colonial state. You see, so when they get into place, you know, the African countries and the OAU or the African Union have been turned into peacekeepers. That was not the objective of establishment of Organization of African State or the now the African Union. The idea was to build institutions to link Africans together so freedom, emancipation can come after decolonization.
And you're listening to Africa Now on WPFW, and we're talking about music in the liberation struggle in Africa, the role of music in liberation.
Old pirates, yes, they rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a moment. We have seen what can make the eagles blind. Oh, what more do you want us to see? We are waiting to see wind of change.
That's Wind of Change, Sonia Kosa, and of course the one right before that was the Redemption Song by Bob Marley. And Kofi, we were talking about this song. It's the same song. One, of course, the Redemption Song was the most popular, and you were saying when did Sonia Kosa produce this?
I forgot the date, but he calls it, at the end of the song, He said, another song of redemption song. Mm-hmm. So it's part two.
Part two. Okay.
As you call it, you know.
And he's really talking about post independence.
That's correct. You know, but the most important thing I always like people to understand from some of us that had the opportunity to go to have education during the Nkrumah period is the point that Africa's unity is the central piece on Ghana's policy. The reason being that from Nkrumah's point of view, no African country can claim of independence and emancipation when we are fighting with each other for just crumbs that are not there. You know, sometimes I wonder, the whole of the United Nations is probably the most undemocratic system that has been established and controlled by those who have power. You see? And so when it comes to using songs to give energy and a force of motion, it's actually finding a path of transformation from colonialism to complete independence of African countries.
And we're talking about African liberation music, and you're welcome to join the conversation. Call 202-588-0893. The number again is 202-588-0893. We have a few minutes we wanted to really show the diversity from the independence struggle, and then in this one, of course, Sani Okosan. And I think right before, during the break, we also shared the instrumental of Fire on Soweto, because today is Soweto Day. And the music was not just about the independence struggle, it was also about the issues taking place currently, post-independence Africa.
Right. Because we're still working towards from decolonization to independence and emancipation, you see.
And then, I think as we mentioned, I think we were talking about earlier about Fela's role as well in the liberation music. And that's one of the things that I'm not sure if we have anything today. We didn't put...
No, but... You're very correct. You know, see, if you look at the continuum of Africa's struggle, you're talking about emancipation. That's the goal. You know, Nefela was very powerful in trying to let us know that we also have to emancipate our minds. You see, even the names that we carry become critically important.
And we have a call. Tesfa, you're on the line. You're welcome to Africa Now. Tesfa, you're on the line.
Yeah. The League of Nations didn't help Ethiopia in 1936, and the United Nations didn't help Congo in 1960. My older brother died crying for Patrice Lumumba. During my time, I saw the days of Bob Marley being poisoned. All our inheritance to our children is telling them about the death of our leaders, our best, Dr. King. We tell these stories. This is our inheritance we pass to our children. This sad story has to stop. What they use against us is division. They use the Katanga against Congo, against Patrice Lumumba. They use the threat of secession against our countries. They use ethnic political groups against Ethiopia right now, as they use the Katanga against Congo. Secession, that's what they use against us. We need unity within our own countries.
Thank you,
for
Tesfa.
Survival.
Thank you, Tesfa. And we have a last caller, Ali. You have a quick comment or question?
Yeah, I could comment on a lot of things, but I just want to say,
very quickly,
if we look at the significance of the Conga itself from Central Africa, the Congolese people, and its importance in Latin America and Afro-Cuban and Brazil and Merengue, they seem to give... the respect and the reverence to the drum and where it originates from. But sometimes in Africa, when I visited on my last trip, that wasn't as much the case.
I don't think that is the precisely correct. Depends on where you went to, because there are a number of Europeans and Americans going to Africa every time to learn the drum, because the drum is a secret instrument. You know, you go to every house in the chief's palace in Ghana has what we call the drum house. Female drum, male drum. I mean, it's just a, see, what people don't understand is that in order to become a master drummer, you spend 7 years as an apprenticeship. First, you have to learn the kind of trees that are supposed to be drummed. And then you have to learn how to make the drum. You have to learn how to skin the drum. You have to learn what each chord is. So by the time you finish, that's what we call a master drummer, not going there, learning a few things, and then you say you're a drummer.
And unfortunately, we're running short of time, and we wish we could have played. Actually, one of the callers mentioned Mary Makeba, and she, of course, she was very influential in talking about liberation in Mozambique. She had the famous song "Luta Continua," of course, we can't ignore her contributions.
I think we
probably have to revisit this topic. We need 2 hours.
But before you go to the song, let me say this: one of the greatest contributions by Fela. One of the greatest contributions by Fela is pointing out the role of culture. Say the African man must have African name. You know? You see, because of that, you know, the Fela changed his name from a Ransom Kuti to Anil Kalopo Kuti. The same thing applied to a Guy Wari of Ghana. He changed his name from Guy Wari to Kofi Kanaba. You see, because people came to understand the African naming process as a culture must carry its own name, you know.
You've just been listening to a portion of a conversation from our archives, which originally aired on June 16, 2010. The conversation focused on African liberation music, looking at the role of music in African liberation. And the conversation was with Dr. Kofi Kessy-Dompré, who is a professor emeritus of economics at Howard University and has written extensively on economics, philosophy, decision theory, and quantum mathematics. And he's also, as you know, has a show here on WPFW, which is one of the oldest show on WPFW that airs on midnight on Saturday to 2 a.m. Sunday. The music in the background is Colonial Mentality by Fela Kuti. Before we go, I just want to remind you of the Jazz and Justice Festival, which is taking place on Sunday, June 22nd, noon to 8 p.m. That's WPFW in collaboration with Washington Parks and People presenting the Jazz and Justice Festival. And there'll be teach-ins, visual art, children's activities, and more in the Malcolm X Park. WPFW personalities Saiz Kalamadin, Kaba Soul Singer, and Proverbs Reggae Band will be among the performers, with sets by DJ Lance Reynolds and Underdog. Also featured will be an art show curated by Adrian Ferguson of The Art of Noise, and a community created by Melina Douglas. Also featured will be an art show created by Adrian Ferguson of The Art of Noise, and a community created by Melini Douglas. And adjacent to the Malcolm X Park in the Josephine Butler Center, there will also be a film festival of shorts from local filmmakers. More information at wpfwfm.org. That's wpfwfm.org. That's it for Africa Now for today. I'm your host, Muiza Muntali. Up next is Headline News, followed by Sha Anana, Hussein Alamin, which will discuss issues in the Middle East and Northern Africa. And that's followed by the Women's Collective Sophie's Parlor, which is followed by the Browder File with Tony Browder. And that's followed by Black Agenda Radio with Margaret Kimberly, which is followed by Kombit Lakai with Eugenia Charles looking at issues in Haiti. Check out Africa Now on Facebook and on X, formerly Twitter. That's at Africa Now Online. Also, Africa Now is archived on iTunes Podcast and on SoundCloud. Search under Africa Now Online on SoundCloud. That's Africa Now Online on SoundCloud. Thanks to Africa Now's executive producer and co-host James Pope. And thanks to our engineers Michael Nicella and Kalia Chapman. And thanks to our research fellow volunteers Chanda Kozer and Fernand Gonda, and our Africa World Now Project Collective of Dr. Tasmin Siddiqui, Dr. Keisha Khan Perry, Dr. Josh Myers, and Kurt Erderson. And thanks to the entire team here at WPFW and to you for joining us. Continue to support all the great programs on WPFW. And see you at the Malcolm X Park on June 22nd for the Jazz and Justice Festival this Sunday, June 22nd. We're going to leave you the closing song entitled "La Lucha Continua" by Miriam Makeba. Have a great day, have a great week, and stay safe.
My people, open your eyes and answer the call of the drum. Frelimo, Frelimo, Samora Mashe, Samora Mashe has come. Maputo, Maputo, home of the brave, our nation will soon be as one. Frelimo, Frelimo, Samora Mashe, Samora Mashe.
WPFW News in Washington. I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Wednesday, June 18th. Here are some headlines. Israel and Iran traded fresh strikes early today as the conflict enters its sixth day. Israel said it attacked an Iranian centrifuge production site and weapons manufacturing sites overnight. And sirens sounded across Tel Aviv early this morning as the Iron Dome defense system intercepted missiles that were fired at Israel. Meanwhile, President Trump has yet to say whether he has made a decision on U.S. military intervention in the conflict. Speaking today to reporters, the president refused to say explicitly whether he would order U.S. forces to attack Iran's nuclear sites. Quote, "I may do it, I may not do it. I mean, nobody knows what I'm going to do." Close quote. And in a Senate hearing today, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth told lawmakers that the Pentagon was providing possible options to President Trump, but would not say whether the military was planning to assist with Israeli strikes. This comes as some members of Congress from both parties argue This is not a decision that should be up to the president, Republican Representative Thomas Massey and Democrat Ro Khanna introduced a war powers resolution yesterday that requires congressional approval if Trump wants to commit armed forces to military action in the region. In other news, in a major ruling, the Supreme Court today upheld a Tennessee law banning gender-affirming care for transgender youth. In a 6-3 ruling, the court said Tennessee can continue to prohibit minors from using hormones, puberty blockers, and surgery for gender transition. The court's 6 conservative justices upheld the ban, and the 3 liberals dissented. Doctor and 3 families who sued to challenge the Tennessee law said it discriminated based on both sex and transgender status in violation of the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. And as America gears up for Juneteenth tomorrow, amidst a national backlash to diversity, organizers are struggling to match previous year's levels of sponsorship and engagement. WPFW's Noah Portner has more.
Juneteenth, a federal holiday, commemorates the day in 1865 that the Union Army informed a group of enslaved people in Texas that the war was over and that they were free. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed over 2 years earlier, but this group in Texas did not learn about their freedom until June 19, 1865. Many companies are pulling their support of Juneteenth events, either out of fear of the administration or out of a belief that sponsoring these events may no longer be profitable. Latasha Levy, a professor of Afro-American Studies at Howard University, spoke on this point, saying that this, quote, shows that many institutions and corporations were never truly committed to diversity and inclusion, end quote. President Trump's slashing of the federal budget, including the National Endowment of the Arts, also affects the holiday's funding, although millions are still expected to celebrate the genesis of black freedom. From WPFW News, I'm Noah Portner.